Lena Williams is a professor of creative writing and English at Emory University. Several years back, she published a short story called Personal Testimony. The subject of the story is a 12-year-old minister's kid, a girl, who was the kind of young girl who gave pastors' kids the reputation that's less than ideal. This was the early 60s, and her church every year went to a big summer camp that was a combination of camp and revival. And as part of camp each night, there was an expectation that some of the kids at camp in the evening worship service would share their testimony. This 12-year-old girl, in the process of going to camp, discovered she could make some money at camp. She developed her own fundraising effort, providing what she described as a ghostwriting service for Jesus. She discovered that many of the kids at camp didn't feel all that comfortable and confident sharing their testimony. So she offered and made good money writing out testimonies for the other kids at camp. She understood from being in church what kind of testimonies the counselors wanted of life that turned around in confession and repentance. And she even got so good that at appropriate points in the notes, she would include a little message to let the speaker know that this was a proper place for tears or a well-placed hallelujah. It went well until she was attending her own revival at some point later and confessed her sin there with her pastor father present. Now I wonder, if I were to say that every member of our church was going to have to give a testimony in church, how many of you would be willing to pay someone else to write your testimony out for you so that it sounded good and flowed well and could tug on the heartstrings in just the right way? Many of us feel uncomfortable talking about our faith, even sharing our own story when it comes to talking about sharing what God has done in our lives. Many of us struggle. We don't feel adequate. We don't think we've got the right words. We're convinced that someone can do this better than I can. In my church in Atlanta, one year I decided we were going to have testimonies each Sunday during the summer. And I put the word out. I announced it in the newsletter. I announced it from the pulpit. And I had no volunteers. Many of us have heard plenty of preachers, sermons, Bible studies telling us that we need to be sharing our faith. But among all the areas of our Christian living, this may be one of the ones that gives us the greatest struggle. We understand we live in a culture that discourages talk about faith. We hear some God talk in the news, and often we don't really want to be associated with some of what's being said out there or the way some folks are talking about faith. We understand that we live in a culture where sharing about faith and religion is often divisive and discouraged. Tom Long, a wonderful preacher and professor, quotes a socially connected New Yorker as saying, "At fashionable dinner parties in this town, you can talk about anything. You can talk about politics, you can talk about sex, you can talk about money, you can talk about anything you want, but if you mention God more than once, you probably won't be invited back." So, all of that weighs on our feeling about what it means to share our faith. If you find out that the preacher's going to talk about evangelism, you're looking at your watch and going, "I think I have a lunch at 11:30 that I need to get to." We're not comfortable. We're not sure. And more often than not, when this topic arises, what I hear folks saying is, I don't know what to say. I don't know the questions I may be asked. I'm not sure the answers. I don't know. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel confident. And so in our discomfort, our struggle, we latch on to some of the sayings that help us feel a little better about ourselves. There was a poem published a few years back by Edgar Guest that begins with the words, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. A quote attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, which may or may not have been from him, says, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. I've used that quotation on a number of times in a number of sermons, and the point of both of those statements are valid. It's important if we're Christian to live our faith. People need to see us demonstrating faith in our words, in our attitudes, in our actions, in the ways we treat other people. We've seen plenty of folks who have preached and proclaimed faith only to have their dirty laundry later aired in ways that undermined their message and left folks labeled as hypocrites. There have been far too many folks talking about how God can change your life whose lives themselves didn't seem to be changed. So it is important that if we're going to be Christian, we've got to live our faith in a way that people can see it. But it's not enough simply to live it if we're not willing to tell others why we believe what we believe. Amy referenced it in her prayer with the children. 1 Peter, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Jesus, before he ascended, told his followers they are to be his witnesses from locally to all around the world. We're called to make disciples, and that begins with a willingness to live out our faith, but it also depends on a willingness to tell others how God has changed our lives. And in our scripture reading today, we see Paul doing just that. In Acts 9, we can read about how God changed Paul's life on the road to Damascus. And beginning at that point, he became a profound preacher, apostle, teacher, starting churches, encouraging churches in letters that have become part of our New Testament. And throughout the book of Acts, we see a number of times when he engaged people, preached, taught. But there are several places after Acts 9, we're given a chance to speak, to preach, to teach. What Paul chooses to do is share his own testimony. Here he's basically facing trial. He's accused by the Jews of breaking Jewish law, of preaching resurrection, of talking about Jesus being raised from the dead. The king comes in and says, make your defense. And we notice Paul doesn't offer what I would describe as a legal defense. He's not primarily focused on teaching theology, although I think theology is important, and if you think Paul can't do theology, read the book of Romans. Paul can do theology. But here before the king and whatever crowd is there, given a chance to defend himself, what does Paul do? He shares his testimony. And I'm not going to go in great depth verse by verse through this, but notice as he's sharing his story, he's content to say, here's how God changed my life. Now, Paul's testimony is different than some that we've heard. We've all heard the testimonies of how my life was terrible, I was in the gutter, everything was wrong, and God turned me dramatically around. But Paul was one of those, as a Pharisee, who thought he was doing everything God called him to do. He was living by the law. He was doing what he'd been raised. He was living the life as he had been taught until Jesus appeared to him on the road. and focused him, called him into a new direction to proclaim the love of the risen Christ for everyone, Jew and Gentile. And Paul can stand up and say, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. God appeared to me. He called me in a new direction. I'm doing what God called me to do. And he does go back and point out that what he's doing, what he's proclaiming, was foreshadowed and predicted by the prophets. Now, we've got to understand that even though there are passages in Isaiah in particular that talk about the suffering servant, the Jewish mindset of that day didn't expect a Messiah who was going to suffer and die. So what Paul's preaching did sound out of whack to them. But he's right in saying that what he's preaching is one that we can find through the Moses and the prophets when we pay attention. And his point is that he never left the Jewish faith. He just found in Jesus the fulfillment of that which he had been taught growing up. And he stands boldly, confidently saying, I have shared with all I have encountered what God called me to share. Of course, it's ultimately his statement in verse 23 that gets him in the greatest trouble. That the Messiah would suffer and then, as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. So Paul does go a little theology there. He defends himself by pointing out that he's preaching that which God has done that fulfills the expectation of the prophets. But at the heart of what Paul shares here to defend himself is his testimony. His conviction that he encountered the risen Christ and it changed the focus of his life. Through the life of the church, testimonies have been important. I love to go back and read the stories of how others through history have come to faith in Jesus Christ. And they happen in so many different ways. We don't all have the same kind of testimony. We don't all have the same kind of experience. For some of you, God may have come to you and turned your life around dramatically. Others of us grew up in church, taught the faith, but at some point we had to claim it for ourselves and say, it's not enough for my parents to believe it. I've got to commit my life to it as well. But any of us who believe in Jesus Christ and have given him control of our lives have a testimony to share. Yours is unique from mine. And yours is a story that needs to be shared. If you want to sit down with some of your friends who aren't believers and discuss theology, they can argue with you over theology. If folks want to sit down and you want to sit down and look at particular scripture passages, folks may argue over scripture interpretation. But if you sit with a friend and talk about, this is what God has done in my life, you are the expert on that. And nobody can debate you on what God has done in your life. And so, we are invited to be willing to share our testimony. Maybe the whole broad scope of here's all God's done in my life, and sometimes it may be in a conversation, let me tell you about what God's done for me this week. To use the phrase we use in Bible school, sometimes it's just a willingness to be willing to share a God sighting. Let me tell you where I saw God this week and how it encouraged me. Let me tell you about the time I felt like life was falling apart and God picked me up. Listen, I've been through all kinds of evangelism training programs. I've tried sharing my faith using little pamphlets. I've learned the four spiritual laws. I memorized a 5-page program called CWT, Continuing Witness Training, and went into homes ready to ask these 2 starter questions and then just drop all this 20-something scripture verses on them as if that wouldn't overwhelm a stranger. But ultimately, the best gift we have to offer to those who struggle to believe is our story of how God has worked and is working in our lives. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar to do that. In fact, some of the best witnesses I've ever known are brand new Christians who've only barely started studying the Scripture, but they're so excited about what God has done in their life, they can't keep it to themselves. And so I ask you this week, what's your testimony? What's it sound like? If you struggle to think of the ways God has worked in your life, that's a different challenge, and maybe it's a reminder to make time to start spending time in prayer and Bible study and asking God to do the work in His life, in your life, that He wants to do. But if God's worked in your life, you have a story to share, a story to tell. And it's one that can be shared in a way that's authentic and genuine and real. In his book, Blue Like Jazz, Donald Miller talks about growing up without a faith and a family without faith, going out to Portland, Oregon, which is not known as the Bible Belt, and beginning to encounter folks who wanted to share faith with him. He's very much writes from a sort of that postmodern approach to things. And in this story, as he talks about ways God began to work on him, he talks about meeting a young pastor who had started one of those non-traditional churches, a church that probably looks almost nothing like ours. But he talks about spending time with Rick, listening to Rick, hearing Rick share faith with him. And listen to the way he describes Rick sharing his own faith. Miller says, he talks about Jesus as if he knows him, as if he's talked to him on the phone earlier that morning. You hear what caught Donald Miller's attention? It wasn't theology or great Bible knowledge. What caught his attention was an authentic telling of God is real in my life. And if God is real in our lives, we have a story to tell. If God is working in our hearts, we have a message to share. And in a world where there's lots of church folks out there, a lot of preachers out telling the world what they're doing wrong, I think the world hungers to hear authentic, genuine Christians in a non-threatening way saying, let me tell you about what God has done in my life. Let me tell you about a God sighting I had this week. Yeah, it may still feel a little overwhelming and a little threatening, and we're still not always sure how others will react. And if our sharing isn't backed up by a lifestyle, it's going to be harder for others to hear. So think with me, what's your testimony? Maybe spend some time thinking about it. Maybe writing it out. Maybe speaking it and recording it. Think about what you've got to share of the ways God has taught you recently, something that you needed to know, or the ways God has helped you grow in certain ways recently. Paul, I'm convinced, spoke in a way that would have led others to say, as was Donald Miller said about his pastor friend, he talks about Jesus as if he knows him. And at the heart of Paul's influence was an ability to talk about Jesus, knowing him and how Jesus had changed his life. How can we share with others the good news that Christ has changed our lives too? Who are the people who need to hear you share some of your testimony, that they might at least gain a better idea of what God can do in their lives? We can't control the results. Paul, for all his significance, couldn't convince Agrippa that day. But if we're willing to speak, pray for God to give us the words, and trust God to use us, we may never know all the ways God can make us His witnesses. Let's pray. You work in our lives, Lord. Give us courage to tell others about it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.